to Pop a la Carte. It took me a minute. Pop a la Carte number 45. I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
And this week, our topics are the fact that Matthew Vaughn has said there may be a Kick-Ass reboot. And a Kingsman universe, because everything has to have a universe now. Apparently. Kathleen Kennedy and the rumors that she's leaving Disney, and why is everybody at WB not also leaving after the disaster that is the DCEU?
Don't give away our points.
I know, right? There you go. You don't need to listen anymore. The fact that the Disney, Fox, Comcast triangle seems to be getting dirtier. And we will round out with Oh My General.
Which yes, Chinese drama.
Yeah. Not a K-drama this time.
Woo! Yes. Yeah, we're making it different. But Angela and I are watching. All right.
All right, so we're going to start with, do we really need a Kick-Ass reboot?
I don't even remember what happened in Kick-Ass to begin with.
Did you ever watch it?
There was ass that was kicked.
There was ass that was kicked, yeah.
Like, it was like a fun, if, you know, super violent. It was like a less funny Deadpool.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It was like, there Deadpool was has no powers. Huh?
I never saw the second one.
Yeah, I didn't see the second one either. I just saw the first one.
I actually, and I guess I'm the rarity in the conversations, I actually liked the second one better than the first one.
Oh, okay. Which, well, I might have say if I had watched it.
Most people say the opposite, but I actually
like
enjoyed the second
people
one.
People talk about, like, problematic elements in the second one with What's-Her-Face's character. Is it Dakota Fanning? I don't remember who it is.
No,
Chloe Moritz. Grace Moritz.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Wait. Is the second one the one with Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Maybe I did see it.
Okay.
Oh, that doesn't speak well
for I don't think I was looking. Yeah, I don't think I was looking very deep into it. I guess I just didn't care.
Yeah.
And I just enjoyed it more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I haven't seen it, so
yeah.
I don't know. But
seen the first one.
Maybe you're like, I've seen only one, and I don't know which one it was. No, but I don't really think that there's a need for a reboot of it. Like, I don't feel like anyone's yearning for more Kick-Ass.
Do you think it's just because Deadpool has been so mm-hmm. successful that, yeah.
That is 100% what it is.
Deadpool is like, oh, I was too early. It's like, exactly. I gotta try it again.
My time to shine. Now, was there something with, like, the comic book writer not liking the movies or something? Or did I make that up?
I don't remember that.
Okay. I probably made that up. I probably fever dreamed that. But yeah, so I don't know. I guess it's a chance to... I don't even know what. Like, does anyone have, like, an issue with the first one that they wish was resolved by a new one? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I think everybody liked.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Aaron. Yes. Yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
There you go.
That's right.
I was going to say, I'm like, I was trying to, I was in my head getting confused with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Right.
So I was like, it's not Aaron Taylor Thomas. What is his name? Okay. Aaron Taylor Thompson. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think everybody liked him. I don't know.
But they reboot it with a new actor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, you know.
Because he's like a high school kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's too old now. But I don't know. I just don't feel like. I would have seen more if there had been more. Mm-hmm. I was never like, oh my god, Kick-Ass, giving me all the things. Obviously, yeah, I guess I just don't care that much. I just feel weird. I'm like, really?
It just seems a little
even
bit.
Even Matt, like, I told him and he's like, really?
Yeah, it's
already.
It feels a little. Yeah, exactly. It feels a little bit like I don't have any other ideas.
Somehow, it feels like it makes more sense that there have been 3 Spider-Mans in 15 years than it does that we're getting another Kick-Ass. But that's because Spider-Man is
the biggest
selling
exactly.
comic book hero of all time.
Yeah, Spider-Man is huge, so like that makes sense. But
yeah,
Kick-Ass
is Matthew, one of his old properties. I want more Stardust. Although I don't want a Stardust reboot. I would just want more in that universe. Even though the story is over, I don't care.
Like Neil Gaiman? Neil Gaiman Stardust?
Yeah, and Matthew Vaughn directed that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I would take more Stardust.
Which totally has me think of another topic.
That's one of the few movies I liked better than the book. Yep. No offense to Neil Gaiman, but the book I was kind of like, oh, okay. But
I listened to the audiobook, mm-hmm. and I don't remember paying attention to it very much, to be honest. I think I listened to it when I was making Dorian. I didn't really care.
Oh.
But the... okay, so I have a funny story about that. Like, we saw a preview screening of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved it. But they used music from... like, because they didn't have the music done yet.
Oh, okay.
They inserted music from Fellowship of the Ring.
What?
And... okay, so they use music a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
to insert into movies that when they're not done with the script and they need to see a test screening. Mm-hmm. But they're usually not so iconic as Fellowship of the Ring, which would have come out, like, only a year before or something, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, everybody knows this music. Every time the music would get really, like really Fellowship of the Ring, it was people would laugh. Because it was like, okay, we know it.
Bad as the Man of Steel trailer using music from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I don't remember that.
In the theaters before the third Batman movie, they had like it was the music from when Gandalf plunges after on Khazad of Doom, and everyone's sad. And I'm sitting here watching this Man of Steel trailer, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, like there's music you can use. Like I know there's one song that is used all the time. Now I'm blanking on what the name of the movie is, but there's one song that's like used all the time. Mm-hmm. And now I think they've stopped using it because it became iconic as the music they use for all the trailers. But it was a movie that like people had seen, but hardly anybody saw it. So it wasn't as identifiable as Lord of the Rings, which everybody saw and had just come out. And it was like, this is that's Lord like using the Imperial March in the middle. Like, you can't use certain music. Mm-hmm. Because it's really obvious.
That is kind of funny.
Sorry, random tangent. Which I'm going to make another random tangent because we are talking about her. Jane Goldman wrote that movie.
Yes!
And she is writing the prequel to Game of Thrones.
Right.
What did we think of that? I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's a new topic. But it is good. Like, I love the universe of Westeros, right?
Yeah.
I love Song of Ice and Fire books. I also obviously am deeply obsessed with the TV show, even though it makes me super angry all the time. And I avoid harassing the creators or the actors when I feel angry about it.
Yes.
Even though it is taking something very precious from me and fucking it up. But anyway, moving on. I think that the prequel, like, especially the time of, like, there's like so many aspects of it. The Targaryens arriving in Westeros, mm-hmm. the creation, or the battle of the first men versus the White Walkers mm-hmm. and the Green Seers, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That's all interesting. And then, of course,
the children.
Yeah. The fall of the Targaryen Empire and Robert's Rebellion would be also a great thing to show, you know? Once Game of Thrones is over, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would really think that if George R. Martin is going to be involved in this TV show, I really wish that he would just finish the books.
I know. I'm really glad I'm not, like, I want to read the rest of the books. Mm-hmm. I've read the ones that are out. I want to read the rest. I'm really glad that I actually was a TV show person first, mm-hmm. because it makes my life a lot easier.
Right.
Because I'm not as obsessed. Like, I have the friends who were the people who were, you know, who he talks about, you know, like, after the Red Wedding, he's like, he said, he made that joke about, like, now you know why your friends were so upset 13 years ago?
Yeah.
I have the friends who were those people. So, and I see how painful this is for them. Yeah. And I'm just really glad.
If I could go back in time and not have read the books first, I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do that now. But
what we know about what the prequel is going to be is that it's the White Walker's creation.
Okay, so you saw that it was the White Walker's creation. That seems very, it's like a very interesting choice, because I'm like, that's like the thing that we have the least information about, so it's definitely going to be coming mostly from
present day.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, from the minds of the people working on it at the moment. It's not, I don't think there's really that much lore on it.
Yeah.
At least not that's been published.
Fantasy and wants more fantasy and things. Mm-hmm. The most fantastical element of Game of Thrones is fun to explore.
Yeah.
Because I have not read any of the books. John read up to not what's out so far, I think the book before that.
Okay.
At being like, is there magic in it yet? He's like, kind of.
Okay, so this is apparently the, like, what we know. It's the golden age of heroes into its darkest hour.
Okay.
Only one thing is for sure. From the horrifying secrets of Westeros' history to the true origin of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East to the Starks of legend, it's not the story we think we know.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily that they're gonna go back to that time, but that we'll learn how
plot takes place thousands of years before Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing there will be Starks, but it's like, what,
right, Brandon the Builder? Right, the first Starks, kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or the Night's King, who was, I believe, they think was a Stark. Let's see. So it'll be the first of hopefully several Game of Thrones spinoffs. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and they are working with Martin on all of them, which is, it's that thing where you're like, well, that's good because they're working with the creator, except the creator has other things he still needs to create.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It, at the very least, I wish that he would just hand his notes over to someone
and let them finish
it. Yeah. So, well, you know what? If you gotta do that, you gotta do that. Just give me the ending that you originally intended.
I think most people assume at this point that he's never going to finish.
Exactly. And
that's really
And he bad. Said, he once said he wouldn't, like, release his notes or whatever if he didn't finish. And I was like, listen! Listen, you motherfucker.
Does he have any kids?
I mean, not that I know of.
So he can't, he can't even pull, like, a Christopher Tolkien, yeah. man.
So I think it'll probably be...
I love Jane Goldman.
Yeah.
So that's She's really great. Promising.
And it'll be an I'm sure it'll be an interesting, you know, intricate... well-made series like Game of Thrones is.
Yeah.
So, it's just, it's only, like, on principle that I'm like, why?
Yeah. George, finish your books.
Exactly.
Anyway, going back to the topic we were actually supposed to be talking about, I think we finished Kick-Ass, at least.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we had gone on to Stardust, yeah, but,
completely not that invested in Kick-Ass.
That is what we learned.
And it's funny, though, because, like, I do still want to talk about the fact that they're creating a Kingsman-verse, but I've never seen the second movie.
I have
I really want to. I loved the first one. Mm-hmm. But I, for some reason, we never got around to seeing this second one, and we still have it. Mm-hmm. And I get that there are ways you can make a universe, because obviously the second one introduced the statesmen,
yeah.
so there are the kingsmen of the U.S., basically, mm-hmm. and then I guess that means there could be other ones in other countries, but these movies didn't make lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
So do we really
That's what it means when they say they're creating a verse. Is that their way of saying we're going to make more movies, but we're not sure how many yet?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
As far as I understand it.
That's a little... I mean, I guess if they made
theoretically, there already is a Kingsman verse.
Yeah. I think he was talking about spin-offs.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. The potential, like, you could have Channing Tatum... I don't know, assuming his character doesn't die, I have no idea. It's Kingsman, somebody he could.
Right.
So you could have an entire movie with him and Halle Berry.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I mean, like, I don't have, like, anything against, like, if you are interested in a character and then you want to make a movie about them, then that makes sense. Like, that's cool. As long as it's coming from a genuine interest in that story.
Yeah.
And not just like, I want to make some money out of this universe.
Because everybody wants, it's only about money. Right?
Yeah.
Hollywood, too.
Yeah.
So.
Right, everything's about money, but, like, don't think that you can make money if you don't have a story to back it up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's why, sometimes you can get away with empty shells, like Transformers, but for the most part, you're gonna see the drop-off sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
If you don't have something to back it up.
Yeah.
Which is how we have a Solo movie that
bombs.
Yep. That bombs.
Which I guess just shows we don't really have a lot to say. I was interested enough to talk about it, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't, obviously, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I like Taron Egerton. I love Colin Firth. I like Mark Strong.
And yeah, and you were excited.
That's why I liked those movies.
Yeah, exactly. You were excited when you saw the, like,
the trailer.
The material, but it's not something that, like, I don't really think anyone's like, God, a Kingsman universe, you know?
Yeah, like any of the movies.
People making, like...
I suppose the good thing is at least they made a couple movies before they decided to do this, as opposed to the dark universe that Universal was trying to make, where they announced every actor who was going to play every character, and then the Mummy bombed.
Exactly. Yeah. Terrible, terrible idea.
Obviously, that's not happening anymore.
They actually made, wasn't there?
Huh?
There's a Frankenstein one that they actually made, I think. Or was it
Dracula? No, they haven't yet. No, they have cast everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Russell Crowe was playing Mr. Hyde, who was supposed to be the Nick Fury of the universe to, like, tie them all together.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it, really. I mean, like, I didn't, you know. And then Johnny Depp was going to be the Invisible Man, so that makes most people less interested.
Yeah.
As opposed to more now. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. As we did just mention Solo, that mm-hmm. brings us nicely into our next topic, which is the rumor that is unconfirmed, but I know multiple people who are trying to find out if it's confirmed,
uh-huh.
and or if it's real, and think that there's a good chance it is, that Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm, is leaving in September. I'm assuming the date is, and the reason it's not right now is to kind of save some face.
Yeah.
If it's true.
If it's true.
To, you know, maybe
by the time we post this, it will have already been true or not true.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. It's hard because it's not surprising.
Uh-huh.
You know, as much as Solo may make its money back, that's not enough for Star Wars. Not with how much money Disney paid for it. Right.
But it is interesting how, like you're saying, like, despite people having various factions having various different problems for however many years, I don't even know how long it's been since the Star Wars sequels have started. 2 years?
The sequels?
Yeah. Or how long Kathleen Kennedy has been at the head of, you know.
Yeah,
how,
it's been a few years.
It's been a couple of years. It hasn't been that long. But like,
maybe five.
But total. Many different factions have had different problems with it, but it hasn't been a financial issue until it became a really big one with just one movie. You know, it's like an interesting drop off.
Well, and there was a story from this weekend, because Colin Trevorrow, who was supposed to be writing and directing episode 9 and was fired, he is in, even though he didn't direct Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, he is an EP on it, and he will be directing the next one.
Oh.
He is doing press for Fallen Kingdom, and he was asked about it, and he did say it was an acidic situation.
Oh, wow.
That he is very close with all of the people who have been fired or had their movies tampered with at the hands of Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm.
Oh.
And they've all had really bad experiences.
Yikes.
I
mean, yeah, because it's several movies now that have been, like, yes, like Rogue One.
He was fired. Rogue One, Gareth Edwards, they had to bring on another director to basically, like, change the movie. It was not as drastic as what they had to do, obviously, with Solo, where 70% of the film was reshot after Lord and Miller were fired.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And, yeah, I mean, the problem is they honestly have no direction. They don't know. As much as, you know, Marvel and Kevin Feige bring directors on and do let them play, they have a general idea of where their entire story is going and what they're working towards. They just don't know necessarily how they're getting there every single plot point. But it sounds like Star Wars, they don't even know.
You're right.
In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, you know, we were talking about how this trilogy, and she said, they've never said it's a trilogy. This could go on. They don't know that this is finishing.
Oh my god.
And that's really not good.
Yeah.
That's you kind of need to know a general idea. Like, okay, if you want to keep going, but you gotta know where it's kind of going.
Yeah, like, right. To have J.J. Abrams set up something with episode 7.
Yeah.
And then to have Rian Johnson do the reverse of that in episode 8. And then you're going to have...
So much so that now they're basically bringing J.J. Abrams back to fix it.
Yes, like...
And I honestly don't know if the things I liked about episode 8 are even going to be, like...
Right,
is
that
just
gonna
what he's going to reset it?
Yeah, we have no idea. So
because Simon Pegg has said, who, you know, is good friends with J.J. because he's done several of his movies, has said that J.J. Abrams intended Rey to be somebody important.
Yeah.
I liked that she wasn't. Because it was like, thank God she's not directly connected to the Skywalkers, and now you're going to tell me, oh, she's probably Ben Kenobi's grandchild or something. It's fucking stupid. Because, you know,
that's... Like, if you had no direction from the beginning, because you wouldn't have a different director and writer for every single movie operate independently.
Yes!
Yeah, if they wanted to, like, even on a TV show, yeah, you might have individual writers per episode and individual directors, and you might have a guest writer and a guest director, but they're in the writer's room together sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in a writer's room together and they have a showrunner who tells
and
them.
So that's fine if that's what you want to do. The fact, like, as soon as I even heard that episode 8 was being directed and written by somebody else entirely, I was like, that means they have no fucking clue. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're just, like, making this up as they go. And, I mean, it's fine if that's not Kathleen Kennedy's strength, but you hire somebody. Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Just even if that one person, even if you don't like their vision, and that's what you could say about George Lucas, you might not like what his vision was, at least it's consistent if it's guided by the one person.
Yeah. I mean, Bob Iger runs Disney, and I don't assume that he is in charge of much of the creative choices that are actually made for that company. He is a money person. And that is, he is there to make sure that he's making money for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Kenny's, what she's done is production, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like she has any interest or abilities yeah, in the creative exactly. side.
And you need someone at the helm who has a vision yeah. creatively.
Very few places are going to be like Marvel, mm-hmm. where you actually have a president who also very much knows his property and can work so well in the creative side. But even then, Feige does not do it alone.
Right.
He has a very great team of producers who've been with him for a while. And it just doesn't feel like
right. Star doesn't Wars say, like, has that. Even if you as the head are more production side, then you have someone with you who is the creative side.
Yeah.
Right?
And you have to let them...
Yeah, even businesses have, like, CEOs and CCOs and CFOs or whatever, right? Yeah. Everyone's handling a different branch. So.
And it sounds like part of the problem, too, because, like, when I was talking with my friend the other day, was, you know, we were talking about this, comparing it to Marvel, because you can't help but compare it to Marvel, because that's what they're trying to emulate,
yeah.
you know, within the same company. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems that Marvel had in the beginning, which is why if you really look back on it, you can see there is a definite quality change. Marvel started with a committee that ran it and made all the decisions. And as much as they were willing to make some, like, big, you know, big choices and big risks at the beginning, because the entire thing was a risk. Mm-hmm. The company was going out of business. If Iron Man hadn't made money, they were fucked.
Right.
They also got scared of making risks. And apparently that's the reason that Edgar Wright left, because he wasn't, it was getting even worse. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, famously after that and Ultron, which is what drove Joss Whedon away, mm-hmm. you know, in some ways, and I love Joss, I think maybe it's good that he was, mm-hmm. but, I'm sad that, you know, that movie wasn't as great and that he felt he needed to leave because of the problems. But that was the time that famously Feige went to Iger and basically threatened to leave because things had gotten so bad. Mm-hmm. And there was then the split where there's now Marvel Studios, and they very, very much try and make a point of what movies are Marvel Studios movies, that those are the MCU movies, those are what Feige controls. And that's also when you see the shift of the Marvel television away from it.
Right.
And that's when the quality went up. Mm-hmm. Because they finally were able to take more risks. They're willing to. Iger obviously recognized that it was worth doing that. And it's, you know, they're making more and more money for every film. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's weird because you feel like Lucasfilm is taking risks by not really having an idea of what they want to do with the stories, but that's the wrong kind of risk. It's not a creative risk. It's, just do whatever you want. It's Star Wars. It'll make money. And then they look at it at the end and they get scared. Mm-hmm. Because that's basically what happened with Rogue One. They're like, oh, it's not Star Wars enough. Let's change it. And then same thing with Solo. You know, they hired Lorna Miller, they hired them to be Lorna Miller.
Yeah.
You can look at their properties and see what you're getting. And then apparently we're like, oh shit, this is not what we wanted. I was like, what did you expect? So it's, yeah. And I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, mm-hmm. an argument really. And, you know, and I was trying to talk about how I think J.J. Abrams was a really, I can understand why they made that choice, but I think the problem with him is, he isn't willing, he's not consistent, he won't stay with anything.
Right.
He'll reboot it, and okay, maybe he'll make you over $2 billion with that movie, but what's one $2 billion movie when you can have 19 $600 to $2 billion movies? Mm-hmm. And that's what they're obviously trying to get, but they're not getting the right people to deliver that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. That's why, like, I don't think Kathleen Kennedy is making the right choices. But, on the flip side, part of me doesn't want her to get fired just because I feel like she's getting a lot more shit than she would be if it was a man.
Yeah. That's the thing, because, like, Kevin, what's his face, in WB, right? How many mistakes have been made there?
Yeah, I mean, there is, everybody involved with any decision about the DCEU should be fired.
Yes.
And I don't even know that guy's name, and that's something to be said.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Like, I think Kennedy's famous for everybody wanting to crap on her, and some of it certainly is justified, but then, like, when has DC done anything right? Wonder Woman. This is the one thing.
The thing they left alone.
And right? It's only because they thought it was going to be shit. Even
who is the decision maker? But, like, I don't even know. Nobody is out there always laying everything on, like, whatever this guy's name is.
Kevin, so. Something with an F. That's all I got. Do something.
And, I mean, it's she's a link in the chain and is the boss, unfortunately, mm-hmm. You know, because there is Bob Iger, but that's, like, his name's a whole, like, the buck kind of does stop with her, and I would be like, okay, then you recognize what your strengths are or aren't, then don't, you know, find somebody. But at the same time, like, look, everybody being upset about Star Wars not being what they wanted it to was what George Lucas was like, fine, fuck it. Like, Disney could take it, and I don't want to hear you complain to me, and I feel like,
yeah.
Is anybody ever going to be happy with what they get from Star Wars? Like, I'm not sure. And especially in light of what we talked about on the previous podcast, especially when it's women involved in it.
Yeah.
I think that's automatically more critical.
I can't find the name. Walter Hamada is the one who's in charge now. He was just promoted.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
He was just promoted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the one.
That's not the one I was talking about, so maybe that Kevin guy did go away.
Yeah, in January, there was a shakeup at the DCEU that there's a new president. Okay. But, like,
it took since.
But even then, I mean, yeah. That it's way too long that it took to make these decisions. And, I mean, isn't Jeff Johns is still there?
So, breaking news, that's not so breaking for y'all. We literally just learned that Jeff Johns and Jim Lee are stepping down from DC Entertainment, even though they're still going to write stuff, or at least Jeff Johns is still going to write stuff for them. So that makes, like, four people who have left either DC or WB, because Diane Nelson stepped down as president after a leave of absence, and Kevin, who is the head of WB, was replaced by Walter, who still seems to be making terrible mistakes, but we don't know yet, because we have to wait and see. So what are your thoughts on the state of DC, at the state of the DC nation right now?
They just don't seem to know what they're doing. It doesn't seem like it should be quite this hard. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because on the one hand, it's a good thing that people are stepping down, so it shows that they need to change a direction. But on the other hand, Jeff Johns wrote, or he didn't write, but he was producing that original Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds that was so terrible. And he was supposedly a creative head for mistakes like Justice League. So I'm not sure that it's a good idea that he's still writing Green Lantern's Corps, and now he's credited for writing Wonder Woman 2 as well. But I guess he was credited for Wonder Woman 1, so maybe it's okay?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It is good that they're at least trying to move on instead of, like, continually, like, bashing their head against the same wall, being like, why doesn't anybody like this exact one thing? Like, I don't understand. We're just going to keep bashing my head on this wall. So it's good that they're not doing that, but then if they are, on the one hand, you know, it's not great when you pull somebody out from entirely the outside and install them in. But on the other hand, if you just put people who have also been a part of the thing that clearly isn't working, and like, what do you think's going to be different? I have very little, and this is the first time that I would be like, okay, like, you know, this other person was whatever, but maybe they have fresh new ideas, and see what they do, but... I mean, I just have zero confidence in DC right now, even post-Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman wasn't... Our expectations were also low.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now, who knows if Wonder Woman 2 will live up to that, you know?
Yeah.
Even those lower, but now slightly raised expectations. I was going to say, Jeff Johns has had some success on the TV side. I mean, at least he was heavily involved in the first season of The Flash, which was by far their best season. And... he's now, I'm not sure if he's show running, but he's definitely writing and is credited as creating the Titans show. So hopefully that we haven't seen any of that yet, so we don't know if that'll be good or not. But we'll find out sooner rather than later, and then we'll know if the rest of DC is going to be okay.
But then that's a lot for one person. That seems like you have too much going on.
Right, yeah. But I guess that's like the what's-his-face from Marvel, right? Kevin Feige is, but he's not actually writing them, he's just the... He just tells them what to do. So,
yeah.
It's more like...
That's older.
Yeah. I guess it's like Berlanti to Kevin. Berlanti's more like Kevin Feige. And then I don't know what Geoff Johns is going to be like. Hopefully not. Well, because he's like a, he's not the head of anything now. He's just writing. So maybe that's why it's easier. He doesn't have to actually make the decisions. But who's going to be making the decisions? We don't know.
Anyone at this point?
Yeah.
Is there any farther low to go? I don't know.
Like, all they have is Berlanti, but he's doing TV. He can't do both, so.
I remember seeing a thing about, I don't know, that Batman movie is still, maybe, they're still trying to talk about it.
Right, and there's still going to be two Joker movies, which is nonsense. Like, nobody asked for that. Absolutely nobody.
No. So, I can update what we said before.
But yes.
About all we got.
That was our incisive commentary.
Lack of... Well, I think it's telling that we're all just like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Like... Get me a really good trailer for something, and then maybe... You
know, like Aquaman, perhaps.
Oh, maybe, yeah, we would like that. Maybe actually make a Flash movie that's not about Flashpoint.
Oh, yeah, you heard... They're switching it from Flashpoint to a Back to the Future vibe now, which I don't even know what that means, because that is...
Still means time travel.
Yeah, like, that is the Flash, which, so...
I guess it's better than Flashpoint. I had explained to my father why Flashpoint was a bad idea. He's like, we did it on the TV show. I'm like, they barely aired it on the TV show.
Yeah, and they did it after two seasons.
Yes, exactly. Like, they barely aired it, but they did earn it. Like, two seasons in that world, you don't, like, introduce this world by rebooting it.
Right.
Like, why? Like,
exactly. Like, you know, like, welcome to Barry Allen's worst mistake on his first day. Like, okay.
Like this, unless they were gonna go for like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead kind of vibe, like absurdist.
Right.
Take on whatever. Like, I don't know. That I would actually maybe watch. It's like Arrested Development style. Welcome to Barry Allen's worst mistake.
There you go. Literally.
So, I mean, the same can be said of Jeff Loeb at Marvel Television. Mm-hmm. His comics are some, like, people love his comics. And he's had some good TV shows. Mm-hmm. But the track record for Marvel Television is kind of 50-50.
Right.
And that's not good when, you know, even the worst Marvel Studios movies are better than the best. Well, okay, maybe
that's
not
all exaggeration.
Of them. Okay, they're a hell of a lot better than Man of Steel.
Yes.
Wonder Woman, I still only put in the middle if it was a Marvel film.
I know.
Yeah,
I
see? Know. You put it
in the middle. But yeah, but still, either way, no matter how good you think Wonder Woman is versus the others, it's an outlier.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And it's, I still think they're stupid for, and now we're getting like a Joker movie.
Nope.
Two Joker movies.
First off, let's be real, we're not. But I put the fact that they're announcing them.
Like, I need more Joker.
No one.
This specific Joker, not just right. Me, my Joker. I can understand if you were sad Heath Ledger for many reasons. You were sad that he passed away, but if you were also sad because you would have liked to see more of his Joker, I would have understood that.
Yeah.
But nobody wants more of Jared Leto's Joker.
Nope.
I don't understand that. And it's not even that. We're getting two, because they're saying there's still the movie, or is he just going to be, like, Joaquin Phoenix? He might be in the Batman movie. I posted, Phoenix. Though.
Yeah.
I did. I tweeted at somebody. I was like, why do we even get worked up about these things? Because only 10% of the movies that they have actually announced have happened.
Exactly.
Maybe this is that, because I was about to say they should make, like, a Facebook poll to find out what the people want.
Yes!
Maybe this is what they do. You leak an idea to claim it, announcement that it's happening, but they leak the idea and then see what the reception is to it, and then decide whether or not to follow through based on that.
It's true. Maybe. Well, I don't know, though, because it does not look like they're making the Flashpoint movie, but people were excited about that just on the face of it.
People were excited about Flashpoint?
Yeah.
Those people are stupid. I'm so glad they're not doing Flashpoint. Although, again, they're not going to ever make this Flash movie, but I'm so glad they finally realized that Flashpoint is a terrible
idea
for
right
opening
now.
The Flash. Like, what are you doing?
The worst thing he's ever done. If you don't love him now, you never will, so you'll never come to see another Flash movie,
exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
All I care about is that they are not recasting Kiersey Clemons. So, even though they're never making this movie, at least they didn't try to recast her.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine. That's all I needed. Walking away.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, so I've forgotten the main point. The main point is that Kathleen Kennedy probably should step down, but so should 300 other people. And
everyone at DC. Yes, Everybody, and probably the people who hired them at Warner Brothers, because Warner Brothers is not doing well either, so they all probably should go anyway.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, we need to do a total overhaul.
Find a creative person. Like, that's a fun idea. Find somebody who knows all of it, because that's the big thing about Star Wars. So at least with Marvel, the hit or miss they have with Marvel Television, there's somebody there who's making sure that at least the TV could fit into the same
universe.
Like, even if they don't, they're not doing that well with the Star Wars television universe. I mean, they kind of are, but they're kind of not. Mm-hmm. Like, they choose to acknowledge it when they want to, but in some cases, it just doesn't make sense. I think especially Rebels versus Rogue One. I think there's a lot of, like, issues there, according to my friend who was obsessed with all of this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And she's like, just, even if nothing else, in terms of what they're capable of doing in the television show, they're not capable of doing in the movies, and just with the timeline that doesn't work out, like...
Yeah.
The person a lot of people would like to actually see take over Star Wars, at least from a creative standpoint, is actually Dave Filoni, who is responsible for the Star Wars cartoons.
Oh, well,
because they're like, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows the characters. He knows the stories. So he is telling compelling stories.
There you go.
People have actually said, if you put Rebel, like, they'll rank their movies, the most recent ones, but if you ask them to include the television, Rebels is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Even if you don't make him, like, head of Lucasfilm, create, like, a chief creative officer.
Yes.
Exactly. Make him be the one in charge of the creative side, and then Kathleen Kennedy can just do the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that'll be fine. Because she produced a lot of, you know, Spielberg and Lucas is, like, most famous. E.T. was her first, like, job, I think. She was a producer on it. So she's done great work. Yeah, just not the creative. She's not the creative person. Anyway. But yeah, and then just fire everybody at WB. There you go.
Do it.
Clean sweeps. Let's go. Get another woman. Oh, hey, that was the other thing that Feige said, by the way, at that production panel. He was asked about more women directors, and he said, I can't promise you that they're all going to be women, but in the next 20 movies, there will be a lot of women directors.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. That is very good.
Next 20 movies.
Yeah. We can only take them how many years?
Yeah, right?
At this point, I just want them to stop making Star Wars movies.
Yeah, Star Wars movies, I'm done. I'm like...
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it, like, the other day. It really did feel like when the prequels were coming out, 3 years allowed you to forget how bad the last one was. Mm-hmm. And so you were excited again. Now it's just one after the other. Yeah, like, okay, that last one wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. Why am I excited? And now there's another one. And, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason we only do, like...
It's coming from merchandising, right? Like,
yes.
They can still have that without dumping all this money into movies that are not necessarily a sure thing, as we have found out.
Yes. They were once, before, maybe, but not so much anymore.
You know, the merchandising money, because that was what made George Lucas's money, is that he kept the merchandising rights for Star Wars. So, like, Disney has that now. Like, quit while you're ahead.
Perhaps if he had not kept the merchandising rights, and they went to Fox... We would not be discussing the next topic, which was the fact that so much of Fox Murdoch is trying to sell almost all of Fox, and Disney and Comcast are about to duke it out, because that shit is going down. Because apparently, I think it's July 11th, there's going to be a vote where shareholders will actually get a say in whether or not Comcast get a real chance to try and compete with Disney. If they just take the Disney deal, or if, you know, if Fox shareholders want
Comcast to try.
And the big... So everybody always talks about the Marvel rights, because everybody thinks that's important. I have had multiple people confirm to me, if Fox ever sells, Marvel get the characters back.
Even if it's...
It does not matter who they are sold to.
Okay.
Fox have those rights. The contract does not extend to anybody who buys them.
Okay.
So, that's not a question. Okay. It's just... So, right now, they don't get them because Fox hasn't sold to anybody. So it doesn't matter if they're even talking to anybody. There's nothing they can do. So, but if that goes, so that's not an issue. And as much as Disney, I think, would love to have the original Star Wars films out, because they, Fox have the rights to the original versions of the original trilogy. So if they ever get released, they have to have a Fox logo, which Disney does not want. Unless they own the company. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, the minute Disney has any control over those rights, they're going to release you a version. We'll get the non-special editions back. Right. We'll get the original version.
The special original version.
And they've been worked on. I know people who worked in the companies that have cleaned them up. Mm-hmm. They are ready to be released. So it's not even like they have to go back and make them pretty. Mm-hmm. They are ready. And I guarantee, and Disney just want money. Of course,
right.
That's going to print money. People would love to buy that. I know people who own the versions that have been cleaned up by somebody on the internet.
Yeah.
And they're still going to buy the original. Right. Like, if those DVDs or Blu-rays come out, they will buy them.
Yeah.
So, as much as they want that, that's not the issue. The issue is 100% Hulu. Mm. Because right now, the studios all have basically an equal share of them.
Okay.
If anybody buys Fox, that person gets control of Hulu.
Oh.
Because they will have a controlling stake.
Well.
And Disney, I think, want it because they're setting up their own streaming service. And it's going to be a lot less work for them if they get to use all of Hulu's tech.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Hulu that is the problem. Or that's what they're all competing.
I mean, I was already rooting for not Disney, so I guess.
I know, it's the hardest thing.
Remember when Hulu was free?
Yeah.
It's weird, because I'm definitely rooting for not Disney, and yet, because I'm from Philly, we hate Comcast.
No, I mean,
it's a Philly thing. They made fun of it in 30 Rock, and Tina Fey is from Philly. Like,
oh, really?
In the town who buys them out, sells wrong. I can't explain to you why.
They're actually terrible. Like cable. Their cable internet company and internet is shit. So
that's why we all hate them, because that's where it started.
Yeah,
I mean, and then the wild card in all of this is the fact that technically, no matter what goes down, the government has to approve this merger.
Yes.
Our government has not liked to do that. The current administration is not a fan of
no. Well, and they're definitely, he's definitely not a fan of Disney right now, so he might give it to Comcast just because it'll spite Bob Iger.
Come through.
Yeah, it's hard, because it's like, I don't want to see more consolidation. That's bad for the consumer. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I have a favorite. Because I would like those original trilogy movies, so I guess I kind of want it to be Disney, but I don't want it to be Disney.
Comcast would probably do it, too.
But they won't have... They'll never agree on it.
What do you mean they'll never agree on it?
Yeah. Because Disney would have to approve it, because they still own Star Wars.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So it'll never happen, I don't think.
Oh, that sucks.
Otherwise, Fox would have done it by now.
See, that's so shitty. But, like, here's the thing. Just, like, knowing how much money Disney has... And then, like, hearing about how, like, Disney employees are treated.
Yeah.
And, like, people at the parks, you know, like, all that stuff. Like, the people that, like, can't even earn a living wage working so many hours. And I'm like, how am I, you know, give them more money so they can continue to treat people like shit? Like, if we get some changes in Disney and that they, you know.
Well, that's the worst part is I did work at Disneyland when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, I mean, like, Eisner was not a great person, but I swear to God, it was not this bad when I was there. And I know people who work there now, and listening to them talk, I'm just like, God, it was so much better when it was for us. But Disney is a big, I don't want to say scapegoat, because they're obviously guilty of it.
Right.
They're a big target, but this is a symptom of our society overall, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because at the same time, I paid like nothing to go to college, and now I could not afford to go now, I'm sure. So, yeah.
And it is true, but, like, it is the people who have the power and the money who can start to make those changes.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I want. So I don't care. Like, Disney can take it if they want. but I...
Sanders has been, like, I follow him on Facebook, and so I've seen a lot of his, like, posts recently. He's really going after Disney right now. And so he's shared the video of, like, Iger talking about how much money he's made for Disney this year, and it's like, your people are starving. Yeah. Literally starving and homeless, mm-hmm. and you're just like, yeah, we're making like 400% more profit. Crazy. And it's like, where is that going? And the hardest part is that everyone agrees. You give that money to the consumers, you give it to those people instead of the shareholders who are just going to sit on the money.
Yeah.
The people who actually are working in your parks, who might move into a middle class, they will spend every single dollar, and that helps everyone in the economy. Yeah. But they don't care because they don't feel better about themselves unless they're better than everybody else. Yeah. Unless they have $1 million when everybody else is starving. That's the only way. And that's the problem. But anyway, going back.
Getting on their rights as well. That's the other thing. They're famous. They will track down street performer in Hong Kong wearing a, like, rip-off Mickey Mouse costume and sue them. They will track down... Because I used to have this Disney blog thing. They will track down daycares that have Disney characters painted on them and give them a cease and desist letter. They got enough bad press. They backed out off of this. But they tracked down a couple in the UK whose infant had died and put Winnie the Pooh on their tombstone and sent them a cease and desist letter.
Oh, my.
They did back off of that because that looked really bad for them. This is how they are. So we're going to give them even more rights to even more characters. And this is how they...
Wield
it,
like.
Right? Yeah.
I know. Evil corporations.
And it's funny because we're talking about Rupert Murdoch selling this company, who is also an absolutely terrible person. Yep. And so I don't really want him to keep it. But then, who can? Nobody else can afford it except the other evil companies.
I'm just trying to split up the evil.
Yeah.
Just kind of make the evil, you know.
It's still better when there's more evil companies, I suppose, and it's not all consolidated in one person's hand because you just give them more power to be evil. I don't know. There's no way. Walt Disney was not a perfect person. There are a lot of kind of horrible things about him. Mm-hmm. His homophobia being a huge part of it. Wow. But I do think he would be disgusted by the company as it is.
Yeah.
I think he treated his people better.
The change started when Roy died not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, I would say in the past 10 years is when Roy Disney died, and I wonder if that has had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know if the family have any say in anything at all anymore. And it's actually interesting because, like, you think about it, there's, maybe it's the disconnect, even if they do, there's some disconnect, you know? Like, Christopher Tolkien is no longer really, he doesn't really have any say in what's happening. He stepped away from the position he held in the Tolkien estate. Mm-hmm. And that's, when people found that out, they're like, that's why this series is happening on Amazon, because he would not let that happen. But obviously the rest of the kids are just like, fuck it, we want money. Mm-hmm. And I always used to joke, actually, after George Lucas originally said that there would never be any more Star Wars movies after the prequel, I always laughed because I was like, yes, there will. As soon as you die, your kids are going to let anybody who wants to make anything Star Wars happen.
Right.
And so then he sold it and he let it happen.
Yeah.
But at least he's given a lot of his money. Like, you know. Yeah. All the cash went to charity. Mm-hmm. He just kept the stock options, right?
Yeah.
Which makes me think, going back to the topic at hand, so the discussion will be who's willing to give more money. Mm-hmm. Comcast has said they will give an entirely cash option of $60 billion, I think it is.
$60 billion.
Whereas Disney's is part stock options, part cash, and it's like 54 or something. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, but cash is great now, but in the end, stock options is way better, especially in a company like Disney. That's going to make you a hell of a lot more money in the long run. Plus, there is an agreement that if they've gone far enough, that if Fox back out, they have to pay, like, $4 billion to Disney.
Yeah.
For backing out of the agreement. So, I think it'll end up being that, to be honest, they're going to use this to leverage Disney and get more out of them. But I think it'll
still end up going to Disney. Yeah, that's true.
Disney has the most money of people involved in this. And
yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Yes. Inevitably going that way.
Yeah. I really do think so. All right. So our next topic is these two ladies are going to tell us about another wonderful K-drama. Oh, no.
It's a K-drama.
Oh, I screwed up. I'm so used to the K-dramas. It's actually a C-drama.
Called, if you want to find it, if you actually want to find it, it's called Oh My General is the American translation. But as I was trying to scare up whether or not I have a happy ending, because that's what I do. I found out that it's based on a, it's not clear if it's like a web novel or an actual novel or whatever, but a novel in China called General on Top, and I like that name better, and we shall heretofore refer to it as that, because it kind of gives you an idea of the vibe. It is about a general who is a woman, and they don't, like, I guess she's been running around, like, on the battlefield far away, mm-hmm. at the front lines, for years, and everybody just assumed she was a man. Because I guess she's, like, part of their, like, her father was the general,
mm-hmm.
and so, and she had a bunch of brothers, and they were all just, like, out there, like, you know, back in the day, like, people didn't have Wi-Fi to get news really fast. And so they just assumed that she was one of the many male members of her family, but actually they were all dead, and she had been generaling. Yeah, since it's really, like, nobody has a handle on this, like, how...
But even, work. Like, even the people in her troop, like, in her army, did not realize it until... Until Fox, her, like, strategist, like, had to, like, she was injured or something, and he had to, like, take care of her, and then he was like, oh, she's wearing something to cover her boobs, because she's got boobs! Surprise! So, which was...
And she's got her two, like, right-hand women, women, too, obviously.
And people, like, know they're women, so I don't know why they had to... It was strange. I feel like it would have been, made more sense if the whole army knew that she was a woman, and then it's just that the royals didn't know, you know? But whatever, it's fine.
We are not selling this. I got into it because they looked really cute.
Yes.
It sets look really cute. Like, that's the bottom line. It's that the leads look really cute. It seemed a very bickering enemies to lovers style thing. And I was like, you don't see... She seemed like she had a lot of personality.
She does.
Which I've finished. And to be fair, the only other... One of the only two other Chinese dramas, like, you know, three Chinese dramas I've finished, that female character had a lot of personality as well. And they're both historical ones. I feel like all the modern day ones, the women are like cardboard kind of.
Oh, that sucks.
Okay. Don't come at me, people. I've seen four. So,
so in two of them, women were cardboard cutouts, and in two, they are lively.
but then the two that were cardboard cutouts were both modern, like current, contemporary. Huh. So I don't understand. And that's specifically mainland Chinese dramas. We're not talking Taiwanese dramas right now. So, but she seemed to have like the most. Like, just, like, a lot of personality, and they seem to have a very, like, she's the dominant one, and he's the whatever, and I was like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah, I like the idea of, the gender role reversal.
Yeah.
It seemed really cool, and I like how they've employed it so far, especially for her. I think the actress is amazing. What is the actress's name? We don't know how to pronounce names, because we are the worst, but...
Yeah.
Is it Sandra Ma? Is that who she is?
Sandra Ma. Yeah. Ma Sishan.
She is wonderful. I love, she's so expressive. Yeah. And I love her voice, too. And I think that she does a really good job, like, transitioning between, like, the, like, really, like, tough, you know, general time, and then also wanting to be, like the filial daughter-in-law, you know, and trying to, like, be meek to like, lure her husband into a sense of complacency. Like, she does she does them both really well without ever going over the top or without ever, you know. Like, you know how sometimes,
she's a
like...
dynamic Korean woman trying to have it all.
Yes, yes! But, like, you know how sometimes, like, actors, when you're lying, you, like, lie really badly to show that you're lying? But she definitely doesn't do that, which I like. It actually, you know, you're actually, like...
Sometimes you have a hard time realizing exactly what she's thinking. Like, when her marriage was first announced. Because she's forced married by the emperor into this guy. Who's, like... A male, famous for being very beautiful, like all that stuff. It's weird because he's famous for being a party boy, but like still kind of a like weaker, whatever dude, which is a very interesting study in what defines masculinity to me still, because he's like the man about town, known to being the party boy, yet he's like weak, artistic, like mm-hmm. whatever.
Likes dancing.
He's known for that. That's what I mean to gotta watch this, because the first episode I was like, what is happening? I've fallen into like the greatest world ever, because like she's like this general and she comes out and then like they cut to his character, mm-hmm. like the first half of the episode is all about her, and so then we're like, we're finally gonna get introduced to him, and we cut to a brothel, and I'm like, oh, like, all right, so we're in a brothel now, like you have to get used to that if you're in a historical Chinese drama, just how it is. And so we're in a brothel, and, like, people are hanging around, and you're like, all right, you're waiting to see, like, everybody's waiting for some entertainment, and then he's the one dancing. I'm like, mm-hmm. He's doing a fan dance. Yeah. I've never seen in my life. And then the second episode takes a lot of it back. They're like, take backs. He was only doing that because he couldn't pay a bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his equivalent of washing the dishes mm-hmm. because he couldn't pay the bill. And then there's like, because like when he's doing the fan dance, like the entire brothel's at a standstill in awe of his beauty.
Oh my god, yes, all the reactions to him. They're like, oh my god.
Like everyone in there, men, women, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's definitely so like the show is clearly very tongue in cheek. Like it knows it. It's not, you know, it's not trying to be serious. But then, yeah, they're very homophobic in the second episode about it.
Yeah.
Like, some guy is into him and comes and hits on him. And just be, like, not interested, goodbye. Like, it didn't have to, like, it felt like it overcompensated.
Mm-hmm. And then I think they balanced it out after that. But, yeah, the second episode was probably, like, the worst in terms of, like, especially his reaction was very homophobic. Because I feel like everyone else, like, at least the emperor and dowager empress were at least like, oh, well, she's awesome anyways, and we have to make sure she doesn't get too much power, so let's just marry her off. Great. But yeah. He was like, I'm a man. How can you make me marry a, you know? And I was like, all right, relax.
Yeah. yeah, it was a shame. But then it did balance it out. And, like, later, 7 episodes later, when they have the dance-off,
mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell how much of their dance off was like fantasy.
Right.
Is there like
there's definitely dance? Yeah, there was definitely a back and forth there.
My favorite part of the dance off is when she was staying there and she had all of her like soldiers like backing her up, like her peons, and one of them was literally like playing with her ponytail to make it look like it was dancing the breeze. Like she was like I was like, get you a position where you have a dude whose sole job is to stand there and make your hair look like it's
right.
Sorry.
But yeah, but another thing that I like is like a lot, there was like a lot of female dynamics in it and some are positive and some are not so positive, but there's a wide variety that there isn't always as much of in like any series, you know, like you can go through any like American series even and only have like one or two female friendships. So like obviously the concubines, both with each other, which they're really cute together, and then their reaction to the general once they get over their fear is super adorable. And of course,
well, it definitely seems to zig where we think it's gonna zag.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
Like, and some of that might be American offense is coming in. Like we're thinking the concubines are gonna be all jealous of the wife, but like,
yeah,
the dynamic from that time period. Like he's gonna get married. If he could get married to one of them, he would be married to one of them. You know.
But even in the narrative itself, like they are very. Sure, they're going to be afraid of her, right? And they're set to not like her, but then they realize that she's amazing. So
that's because of her fearsome reputation.
Yeah.
Like, period. And I don't think that it's necessarily because she's a woman.
Like, no, yeah, not because she's a woman.
She has this fearsome. I think it might be harder for them to divorce it. Like, if she were a man coming back and they were assigned as concubines to
him, that would be different.
Man version him, yes. I think that they wouldn't necessarily be as afraid because you would expect, like, oh yeah, a man general can be, like, terrifying in battle and then come back and be like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love that they were afraid and she, like, won them over immediately and then they were, like, rooting for her.
Yeah.
They were like, don't marry anybody else, we like her.
Yeah, and I also was surprised by her acquiescence to the idea of marriage because I was definitely expecting her to be the one that was like, nope! You know? And instead she was like, all right, well, how can I learn to be a good daughter-in-law and wife, but still get to swing my sword every day? What is the balance here? So
that's what I mean with her, like, she was hard to read about for a while what she thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has this huge smile when the emperor tells her, but obviously she's in front of the emperor, right? So she's not gonna, but the same, but there was, she and Fox had some banter about it. Fox is her right-hand man.
Who is, like, the second male lead, because he totally loves her. And
he is the second male lead.
Yeah.
Like, and he is much better at the beginning. The main guy is a child.
Yep.
For a while. Yujin. But I guess that works for me a little bit more than it normally does, because the show is intentionally playing with these gender reversals so much, and he is so much the beta male in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't make it okay the way that he treats her.
Right.
But I think it's okay because the actual romance doesn't start until they start getting along better. And it doesn't start, like, he immediately stops being an ass to her when he doesn't feel forced into the marriage anymore.
Yeah, that's where I am right now.
Like, from one sentence to the next sentence, he's better. I'm like, well, I mean, I guess I could kind of see that, you know? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't fair to be taking it out on her the whole time.
Yeah, because now he sees her as, like, a friend or an ally rather than as the ball and chain, if you will.
It's, he expected her to fight on it more, maybe, and she didn't. But yeah, so she and Fox had some banter, and it made it seem like everybody was teasing her, like, who would ever marry you? And so she's like, look, I get to get married, like, mm-hmm. she never would. And that's something that she wanted, so she's happy about it. And then she was fine with the kind of person he is, because it kind of meant that she could do what she wanted most of the time and hear him out. So yeah, they're really cute when they have something to work on together. So like,
yes.
They start getting cute when she's like, all right, fine, I'll divorce you, but we gotta wait like 3 years because otherwise we're gonna piss off the emperor and his mom because this is their idea. And then he's like, literally immediately. And then it really starts kicking in when there's a random murder mystery for them to solve.
Yeah, I'm actually like literally when we started the podcast, I was at the scene where he and Ye Zhao are talking about like his battle with the cafe owner, right? Or his like, and then he's like, oh well, it's okay because my uncle, the emperor, isn't gonna mess with my status or like come into my affairs unless there's a literal death. And I was like, isn't there gonna be a literal death coming up? So yes, I guess that's coming.
Yeah, and then it gets worse again for a while because, like, her cousin shows up, and she literally, Yizhao told nobody that she was a man, and just seems to cause her no end of heartache because her cousin shows up, and her cousin has been in love with her.
Her cousin's in love with her? What?
Because she thought she was a man.
That's so funny. But
it's weird. I don't know. So her cousin shows up, and they're, like, all close, and they're hanging out, and he's really jealous, so I'm like, But then she poisons him and tries to drown him.
What?
And he's like,
the cousin does that? Leave.
Yes. And he's like, she has to leave.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no. Like, and she's like, why can't you get along? And he's like, she tried to poison
me. What? Because, like, it definitely reads like a comedy half the time.
Yes. It's definitely meant to be. But she was doing it. It was like a poison that wasn't meant to kill him. The drowning, she pushed him in the water so that she could fall after him in the water. Because then, like, she's in love with him, too. Like,
polyamory time?
I don't understand what, like, I was just, like, I'm really confused, because everybody, like, because Yizhao's reaction to everything is so calm.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, this is a harder headache than, the battlefield ever was. But she just, like, takes a breath and, like, figures it out. Like, she never loses it.
That's funny.
And I'm just like, I don't understand. So, like, I think she wants to be his concubine.
Okay.
But it's not clear why, but she, like, could marry better. So she pushes him. Water,
mm-hmm.
makes him fall in the water so that she can fall after him so they can both be saved together, but somehow them both being in the water together means her reputation is ruined. So
what?
That now the best she can hope for is to be a concubine.
What the hell?
Like, I don't understand. There's obviously, like, dynamics here going on that are, like, social dynamics.
That are beyond you.
Yes, that are beyond what I was like, okay, fine. But I am like...
Now, you're watching on YouTube, right?
Yes, okay. Yeah. So it's on Viki. General Top is on Viki, but they're not done subbing.
Yeah, the first 30 episodes are 100% subtitled on Viki.
Yeah. So, but if you go to YouTube and Google it, there are playlists, and it is in its entirety there, and that's where I'm watching it. So, yeah, they're like, so I got annoyed at him for a while because they dragged that out for too long, and then they both disappeared from the narrative almost entirely for a while. I just skipped those episodes, I'm so bad. I'm like, but one thing, if you gave Fox a plot line, or one of the concubines a plot line, or the sister-in-law a plot line, like,
right.
If you gave characters that I've gotten to know a plot line and put them on the back burner, then that's fine. But, like, you bring in entirely new people and have these plot lines, or even the Emperor, I don't care about the Emperor.
So, right.
They had some plot lines where he turned out he was actually a concubine for a while, and I was like, whatever, I don't care. That was resolved. Like, it's over now. Like, still the Emperor about halfway through.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, so you're like, episode 30?
About 30. Yeah. But now it's cute again because they're working together on, there was like a big flood, and he was dispatched to go bring the disaster relief. But there appears to be corruption afoot, and now they're like, there's a corrupt official out there, and they're gonna like do a little plan to bring it together. And what I love about it is employing his, so he has a lot of traditionally feminine traits,
mm-hmm.
and he is like winning. He wins through those.
Oh, good.
So I like that. Like, mm-hmm. I just love how it's playing so much with the gender dynamics. Like he, like before, it was just that she appreciated him for those things, and I liked that because, like, from her perspective, because like so many people, a worse written, strong female character, like, you know, all right, caps, like her, would disdain like traditionally feminine things because they'd be like, oh, I'm a woman, don't you tell me that anything like dressmaking matters or whatever. But instead she really admires him for, because he makes all their clothes, like he makes the concubine's clothes, he makes her clothes, mm-hmm. She really admires him for that because she can't do it,
right?
She admires his like eye for art because she has no eye for art, and so I like that. So he begins to fall in love with her when he overhears her talking to like the people they were fighting against have like come now to be allies,
mm-hmm.
And that culture is like, you would be honored in our culture, like our women are supposed to be strong, etc., etc.
Oh,
like they really look down on this guy, the prince,
yeah,
as her husband for that reason,
and she stands up for him. Oh,
yeah, and so he's like, nobody has ever thought I was good for anything before, and I was like, doll,
that's cute. That's cute. But yeah, she's already way nicer to him than he deserves.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't, like, I don't know how I'm here in some ways. I don't know, like, because he does not necessarily deserve. I think it's because she was like, I'm determined to try to make this work.
Yes.
So, it wasn't like she didn't choose him. And I guess that's why the fact that it was sort of a forced marriage in a society where those were the only marriages,
mm-hmm.
This wouldn't work for me as a modern one.
Yeah, yeah.
Example. Tried to update it, but it was more like they're finding a way to make this work, and I'm like, okay, I mean, like, you guys had a choice. You think you might have been but like, would the emperor have let you divorce in 3 years? We don't know,
right?
So you might as well love each other in the meantime.
You might as well love each other.
<You're right>. As long as you start treating each other better, and they do, you know.
Yeah.
So but now he's like, has started to really official is corrupt because of his eye for art and stuff again. He's like, the guy's son is all like, oh, my dad is so honest and straightforward and whatever, but he's sitting in here and he's like, these stones are really expensive. He's like, this is a really rare like, mm-hmm. cup that you wouldn't be able to find out here for, and you know, and like all this stuff. He's using his like, he's like Sherlock using his skills.
Right.
Oh, like, no, this guy clearly has a lot of money and there's no way he's making it on a salary, so obviously something is going on.
I like that.
His eye for finer things is turning into, like, taking an investigative turn.
Yeah.
And so she's ready, but, like, she's like, all right, let's go arrest him. And he's like, no. No, if he hid it for so long, he must be really smart. So you gotta give me some time to, like...
To figure out how he's... Yeah, that's nice.
It's cute. So I'm glad they're doing that again, because, yeah, there were a bunch of episodes where I was like, all right.
The other good thing is that the episodes feel short, because it's like they're 40 minutes long, but there's a two-minute intro, two-minute theme song,
outro.
and then there's 2 minutes outro, so it's really only like 36 minutes.
Every Chinese drama I've watched so far is like that.
Oh, really?
It's a drama thing.
Because my friend was telling me that I should watch one called Diamond Lover, and that one's also like 60 episodes, but there's a recut version on Viki and Netflix that's only like 24 episodes, and I was like, how'd they do that? But I guess that'll be my next one.
That's not the type. I watched a Taiwanese drama called Back to 1989.
Oh, yeah?
And that one is like a different episode length on Netflix versus Viki, and I was really confused.
It must be another recut thing, because apparently that's a thing that they do.
That just might mean that they're making the episodes longer in order for them to be less.
It's possible. It's possible. But I also know they changed the ending. Apparently the original ending was, like, made people mad. And so they re-released it with less episodes and a happier ending. I was like...
That is not the case with the Taiwanese 1989. That one is the same. It's different episodes. So, well, if you ever watch that...
Yeah, I will. That'll be next on my list, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to slog now. Like, there was a high there for a number of days, and then I was because it was so good.
Uh-huh.
Now it's kind of... But I knew that was going to happen with 60 episodes.
Yeah, you can't have the same quality throughout.
It's not really necessarily made for binging. I think it was, like, you turn up every week and you watch the drama, and it was good. So if you're looking for something like that sometime.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put this on, you know, once a week or whatever to watch it. It's cute. It doesn't take itself too seriously. But I really like what it's doing with gender roles. And I'm especially impressed... The Chinese drama. I think it's because it's a web drama. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the production quality at all.
Oh, it looks really good.
Like, it is incredible.
Yeah. I was like, you told me it was a web series, and I was watching it, and I was like, how is this a web series? I don't understand.
I'm so confused. Also, it being a web series is how it gets away with some of the stuff it gets away with. Like, And I wonder if that was with the overcompensating with the, like, homophobia in the second episode was, because they just finished that one I talked about before, Love 020 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just, there were two secondary characters, and they were both men, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like something's happening here.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know, I feel like there's something, it's weird the one guy, like, just shows up one day with you now. I was like, what is happening? And I was, like, Googling it, and people were like, in the web series it was based on, like, in the novel it was based on, mm-hmm. they were in a relationship.
Well, I was going to say, there's also a web series from, a Chinese web series called Addicted, where it's like two, it's literally about two dudes who are in love. And I think they're even stepbrothers. So.
Yeah, on TV. Okay. Depends on how long they've been stepbrothers.
I feel like it just happened. I think they like just.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. At least it's stepbrothers. Because I think on TV,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot less you can get away with. Because there's Love 020, whatever, aired on
TV. Oh, it was on TV, okay.
So all the people were like, because I was like, well, I'm glad that my instincts were correct in this case. There's clues. And that was like as close as the production team was allowed to get to, like, mm-hmm. nodding to that storyline in the source text. So sometimes, even though this was a web series, that does make me wonder, like, maybe they felt like they had overcompensated, so they didn't get in trouble?
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I was like, where'd you get your money? Like, oh my god.
Like, yeah.
This is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the costumes are gorgeous, and the fight scenes look really good.
They must have some, like, investor that just really wanted the story
yeah.
to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe, because I can't imagine any web series having that kind of money. And the trailer on, I think Vicky or somebody has a trailer for the show, like a 4-minute trailer on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and it was, like, from the team who did, and then it's, like, movies. So.
No, well, that kind of explains it.
Yeah, I totally believe it. I'm just, like.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say Netflix and Hulu are technically web series. Like, any Netflix or Hulu.
That's true. Maybe it's on some kind of web program like that. I mean, so it's not really what we consider a web series.
And thank God for the Intrepid translator on YouTube.
Right.
I really love it when they occasionally insert their own commentary in there. I appreciate it. Jesus. Once in a while. And I was all at first, because, like, in the very first episode,
mm-hmm.
you know, translator has, like, little notes, and they're like, these are the family-friendly versions, and I was like, oh, but why? But really, it just means they won't type out the word, like, fuck, they'll, like, asterisk it. And I'm like, okay. It's more than Vicky would probably give us, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I'm like, really, there's a lot of cursing in this, if that thing is correct.
Yeah.
If the translations are accurate, there's a lot of cursing in this show.
Yeah.
Or at least at first, so. Anyway, that sounds like it floats your boat.
Yes.
Should figure out sometimes, because it's doing some really interesting stuff, I think, and it's cute when it tries to be cute.
When it tries to be cute.
You could, like, skip, like, most of the episodes in the 20s.
There, in the 20s, unless, like, all right, good to know.
About random characters, like, I literally skip these episodes and I feel like I missed nothing.
All right.
So I started, like, I went through a little bit, and I'm like, this character, like, new character showed up. I mean, I still have half the series left, so maybe this character will come back.
Right, and be important later. But yeah, if a new character shows up and then starts taking up screen time, nobody likes that.
I was like, why? Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, give Fox a story. Give Fox a girlfriend.
I would love for Fox to get a story and to get his own, you know, girlfriend. Maybe he can. Huh?
The general. One of the generals.
Yeah, one of the daughters? One of the.
Yeah, because there's two, her, like, right-hand women.
They're awesome. I love them.
Yes, they're awesome. And their father, I think, keeps trying to get Fox to marry.
I hope that happens, because that would be super cute. I hate it when the second lead is just, like, sad and pining over the girl. Like, I know it's done to make the girl seem more important, and then to make the lead male's victory seem better, but it does not do that. It just makes me sad. It just makes me be like, why is this happening? Why can't he move on?
Michelle's weird cousin was around for a while. She was trying to get Fox to maybe marry her, because she was supposed to be finding cousin a husband.
Oh, okay.
It was like, her job as a married woman now in the big capital.
Is finding other women husbands.
Sent her her cousin, and she's supposed to find him a husband. And I don't know, weird cousin who was, like, obsessed with her and uber jealous, and somehow becoming her husband's concubine was gonna
get them together.
Do something with that, and then it was annoying because everybody was jumping on. You jell about that. They were like, why won't you just let him be, like, give him this concubine? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, that's one of your jobs. And he didn't want to, because he's like, she tried to poison him. And he never says that to any. Like, he doesn't want to ruin a reputation. And I guess, like, he would explain why.
Well, I guess that's nice of him.
want a concubine. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was like, can't you just be like, I'm not interested?
Yeah.
Like, you have to say why you're not interested? Couldn't you just be like, I'm in love with my wife?
Yeah.
And I already have three other concubines who I don't sleep with anymore. So, like, I'm not interested. I don't know why he couldn't stand up. I don't know why he let Ijam take all the crap about that. But he eventually was like, Mom, like, I have a plan. It'll work out. She's like, okay, fine.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
And then they just, like, send the cousin away, and she's mad about it. And they were like, you gotta go.
That's that. I guess that's like, a resolution.
I don't feel bad for you, because, yeah, you're, like, you're acting crazy.
Yeah. You'd think that they'd be a little harsher, but, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Everybody feels so bad, because she just loves her cousin that much or something, and that's why everybody should feel bad for her.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's, you know, that about sums it up. It's really cute, yeah. Has great production values, gender role reversal, lots of female dynamics, friendships, enemyships, and just a lull in the 20s. So
if you weren't trying to binge it like I am, I think it wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what
But I who, do. Like, who watches to not binge anymore? Who does that? I don't know those people.
Usually, other than me, at least have more than one drama going on.
Oh, you do and one at a time.
I really, one at a time, literally, if I'm going to watch things that day. Like, I have one of our other American series I might occasionally be watching at that time.
Yeah.
And then I have one K-drama at a time or one drama at a time. So that's nice. Why I'm like,
well, that's why you get through them so fast.
If I don't want to sit through four episodes in a row, then maybe I don't want to watch this drama right now.
Right. Right.
But instead, you could just, for normal people that might have a rotation that they go through at any given time, you might, this would be a good one to, like, work in there.
There you go.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So YouTube it. Oh, my general.
Yeah.
I'm all going to call it General on Top because that amuses me.
Yeah, General on Top is a great title. Too bad they didn't keep it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I think that's all we have to say. Thank you. We have a good night.
I know, it's just like, and magic of editing.
And scene. Thank you.
Remember to check us out at Pop A La Carte Pod on Twitter, as well as on withanaccent.com, with an accent on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and of course, Pop A La Carte on iTunes or Google Play. Thank you.